You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 12 June. We've got U.S. inflation at 2:30, expected as 3.5%. And then, of course, the FOMC rate announcement at 8 p.m. No change expected. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're going to be chatting with Audrey McGinchu from Trive South Africa. Local global markets full of fear. I mean, is the fear justified? Where is he looking to invest? Or, I mean, is it just, you know, fear is part of markets? Fritz Horbler from Premier Group. Year-end results improved efficiencies, boosting profits. They've spent billions on this over the last many years. Chantal Marks from F&B Wealth and Investments. Gold as it retreats from all-time highs, but central banks still strong buyers as there's still life left in the yellow metal. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Big office landlords are cutting rent by up to 47% to keep tenants. Continue to battle rental reversion since the shock of the pandemic. And Business Day, NASPAS and Prosus expect full-year earnings to rocket, core headline earnings to double, partly due to rise in profitability of its e-commerce business. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.25%, NASDAQ up 0.7%. Over in the East, mostly red, Sydney up 0.1%, but then Tokyo down 0.8%, Hong Kong down 1.25%, and Tencent almost 0.5% lower. Commodities mostly green, gold 2,332, Brent 82.28, platinum 963, which is down $2, and palladium green at 901, which is up 50 cents. Rand 18.56, Bitcoin 67,300. Top 40 opening call, a red open, but 67 points or 0.1% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Audrey McGinchu. He is from Trive South Africa. Audrey, appreciate the early morning. And just said in my intro there, I mean, there's a lot in local markets, perhaps more than usual, but also, I mean, global markets. I look across Europe, I'm even to a degree some North America. Lots of reasons to be scared of a market. The recession talks have faded, but not completely gone. We've still got high rates. We've still got a couple of wars happening around the world. Is this a market to be fearful or cautious of? And if so, how to respond?
Thank you for having me. It is a very volatile time, to say the least. But it's not, you know, the saying is when everyone's fearful, you should be purchasing. There are opportunities. If you look, for example, in China, the EV space there is very attractive right now, overtaking the Teslas and the such. The United States, on the other hand, is still momentous, reaching new highs yesterday with the technology stocks on that front. So there is still opportunity at this moment. Yes, there are concerns. Going back to China again, there was the drill they did over Taiwan, etc. However, until anything happens, there's not really much to fear for. There's just news. And that's why I say that there's still opportunities around the world. Right now, the best, if you are invested, maybe hold for a bit. But if you have cash, that will also be beneficial for you.
I like your phrase there. It's just news. Because as you were saying about China and Taiwan, I mean, I can probably over my 25 years of investing, from time to time, that pops up. And China sort of, I don't know, waggles their saber and the like. This is, I suppose, just what happens. And ultimately, look through that news, and particularly if we're longer-term investors.
Correct. Yes. The whole thing is trying to stay as long as possible in the market. It's time in the market. So there will always be things that happen in the short run. Even if we look locally, we are anxious right now in anticipation and what will happen. How will the government look like? However, I don't, as much as they may have opposing views, I don't see the government out front saying we want to crash everything. Yeah. So even if things don't go according to what we may like, there will be an opportunity in whatever circumstance does appear.
Yeah, and our local politics has spent much of the last 30 years speaking. As I quickly want to go back to China and the EV space. Is this looking directly at the likes of BYD, and or is it the sort of allied industries, battery tech and the like that interests you?
I would say BYD is currently in first place. However, CATL is also a very good investment opportunity for me. I'm currently looking at. If you look, internationally, and also over the weekend, there was a car show, and it showed the possibilities of what the Chinese market has in terms of the EV vehicles. And also, if you look at the global reach now, they're also, selling quite aggressively in this South American region. And also, even though the EU have now announced tariffs on China, they are still, very affordable for that space. And that's why I say that, the Chinese EV market is quite attractive for me at this moment.
Contemporary Amprex Technology Company. I got to say, I'd never heard of that before. Odwa, you've given me some homework to do after the show. Odwa Mugwenshu, Tribe South Africa, appreciate the early morning time.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. When you invest in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the unpredictable ups and downs caused by day-to-day market fluctuations. Because our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Fritz Hubler. He's CFO at Premier Group. We had results for year-end. March saw revenue up 3.6%, HEPS up 17.4%, and dividend R2.20. Fritz, appreciate the time today. Strong results and strong evidence, and you referred to this in the results announcement, of improved efficiency that ultimately flow down to margins and into profits.
Thanks, Simon. Yeah, that's a relentless focus of Premier to make sure that we increase our operational efficiencies throughout our Millbake division and groceries in the international division. And that has culminated in an increase in EBITDA as well as increase in net profit for the year.
And the margins there, both the EBITDA operating margins, all in picking up, operating up 160 basis points to 8.8. Is there more space for more efficiencies and to push those margins perhaps even higher?
Look, I think that margins that we've published is fairly sustainable. There might be a slight uptick in that, but I'm not expecting substantial increases in that percentage.
Soft commodity inflation, which was perhaps one of the big stories of your previous financial year, that seems to have moderated, and that might have sliced some off the revenue, but it certainly helped the business and helped the consumer.
It definitely did during this financial year. But in the new financial year, we've now seen maize prices gone up substantially again with the drought and the harvest. That is fairly bad. So in the coming years, we might have a different view on commodity prices, but it also helped with our working capital that's improved during the year because the soft commodity prices decreased during the year under review.
Is there any point in hedging some of those soft commodities? Or is it a case of they are cyclical and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, and hedges just seem to always cost money and make money for the bankers?
Look, we've got a hedging policy that we keep intact. So we definitely hedge ourselves, but we also don't hedge ourselves too long. A miller doesn't want to be hedged too long because if the price falls away below you, you lose quite a lot. So you need at least a 6 weeks cover because that's how you need to pass on your price increases to the market.
Okay, so relatively short in that regard. Strong growth in your sugar confectionery. One of the big stories a month or so ago was around cocoa prices. That's obviously an input for you, but I don't know if it's material or if it had any real impact.
It is immaterial in our life. I know cocoa is substantially increased, but it is a very small portion of our input cost.
You mentioned cash flows, strong cash flows, inventories also coming down. Is those inventories also part of the efficiencies that have been coming through at group level?
It is definitely part of that, but it's also the decrease in the soft commodity prices year on year at year end that's helped that as well, and improved debtors collection as well.
Gotcha. Mozambique, perhaps the tough part of the business during the period. How's that going? Is Mozambique in for the sort of selling into SADC, or does some of it come back into South Africa?
Yeah, so we've moved the packing line into Mozambique to help pack some snowflake, and we're importing it into South Africa to help the Mozambican business and to alleviate some of our constraints that we've got in country in South Africa.
Personal home care, which is, if my memory serves, you've actually got a plant down in Durban with that.
Yes, we've got quite a substantial plant. We've also started onshoring more and more equipment into South Africa, and it comes with the benefit of 15% import duty that we don't have to import finished products, and we're manufacturing it in South Africa. From there on, we're exporting it to our HPC business in the UK.
Okay. You, post-year-end, you took a 30% shareholding in Gold Keys International. They're a rice distributor, also big in KZN. This is part of the strategy, I suppose. Just, you've got the distribution, you've got the marketing, you've got the know-how, and to bring products on which you otherwise don't carry.
Yes. So all of our competitors have got all of those. They've got rice, they've got maize, and they've got flour in their product basket. We haven't had that. So that's why we teamed up with Gold Keys initially. We distributed it on their behalf. And as you've mentioned, we've acquired a 30% stake in that business, and we're planning to take that national in South Africa.
Last question. You're ahead. Still tough consumers, maybe some rate relief, but will you still be seeing some operational efficiencies coming through to help profits?
Yes, we definitely will see that. We will see some of our Mthatha bakery beneficiaries coming through. Mm-hmm. We will also see HPC benefits, candy benefits. So there is definitely quite a lot of upside in the next year on operational efficiencies.
Fritz Krobler, CFO at Premier Group, appreciate the time.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks. She is, of course, head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. Talking gold, which really has been doing, as it says in the sticker, we saw it rising during the pandemic, again, wars breaking out in both Europe and the Middle East, and, of course, responding to inflation, ultimately getting, to highs above $2,400 an ounce. I want to start with central bankers. They 20 years ago, they were selling gold. Now, suddenly, they're all buyers. 2023, strong buying, continuing into 24. What's the signal here? Is this them ditching US dollars? Is this just them being, you know, classic investors and doing a bit of diversification?
I think there is an element of conservatism here, and we are starting to see signs of deglobalization because of these wars that we have and the stance that some countries take on it. I think there's nervousness around what could possibly be done to these countries in the event of the US or the global West deciding that they're going to turn their back on you. And a case in point is what happened with Russia.
Yeah.
After it invaded Ukraine, they were no longer able to do anything with their US dollars, and they were forced to start thinking about how they actually fund themselves. So we're seeing a lot of central bank buying because I think that fear really is there.
That's actually a great point. I had never thought of that. Of course, Russia just, you know, they had dollars, and then suddenly one morning they didn't have dollars. And I think a lot of central bankers were like, yo, look at that. We've also seen, if we move down to individual levels, I mean, Chinese citizens have been buying, which we see a fair bit of buying in India, although fairly price sensitive from Indian citizens, not so much their central bank. But Chinese citizens have been buying. Is this partly a response to the story around the property market in China, or is this just Chinese citizens saying, you know what, we like ourselves some shiny gold, and again, we can put it under our bed if we're buying coins or bars?
So, I mean, Chinese citizens have been buying a lot of gold jewelry as well, so they do like shiny things. And then the gold exchange traded funds have in particular been doing well in China. We've actually seen We haven't really seen strong flows into gold exchange traded funds in this latest bull run. I would categorize the bull run as starting after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But Chinese citizens have been buying gold exchange traded funds, and I think it's a function of their domestic stock market not doing particularly well, and their property investments not doing well either. So gold being a store of value, and I reckon consumers and investors being quite fearful at the moment, I think gold just kind of made sense to them.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, if you can't make money in the stock market, can't make money in the property market, then it is all about the gold. Outside of China, the one weird thing, and I've been chatting with the World Gold Council when they released the report, quarterly reports rather. What we have seen is outside of China is physical backed ETFs. We've actually been seeing net sales there, and I mean I don't know. I've been buying gold for the first time in my life over the last sort of 4 years, and like everyone else has been selling it, which has always had me a bit of a head scratcher, particularly as it hits new highs.
Yes, so I think that there's an element of profit taking there, and then I do think that there's an element of opportunity cost. So investors are thinking in their minds, well, do I buy gold, which is actually quite boring and it's old, or do I buy something really exciting and new, like the Magnificent Seven? Do I go all in to AI? I also think that there's an element of gold losing its shine when it comes to younger investors, where a similar asset, but a newer asset like cryptocurrency is perhaps looking a little bit more interesting to them. So I do think that that is kind of why you're not seeing, particularly out of the US, physically backed gold exchange traded funds firing up just yet.
Yeah, I think if I spoke to my teenage nephew and asked him Nvidia, crypto or gold, I think gold would be low on that list. If we see, we've got the FOMC later tonight, no expectation they were cut. We did see the ECB and Canadian central banks cutting. Certainly we're expecting the cycle to have peaked. Is rates coming down going to take some shine off for gold, or is there still a potential for gold to move to perhaps even a new all-time highs?
So I do think that it will, to a certain extent, take the shine out of gold. I mean, obviously, once the US starts cutting rates, a weaker dollar will be supportive, but I don't think that it will counter the rate cutting narrative. What I do think will be remain supportive of gold is the fact that we still have crazy elections coming up this year, and I'm particularly thinking about the US. It's going to be a very volatile time. There's so much happening in Europe around politics. We've got the geopolitical considerations to take into account as well. And we're still not 100% sure if that inflation problem in the US has fully gone away. So I think that you do still have those tailwinds for gold. Will it push a lot higher? Probably not. We've had a really, really strong run, but there is scope for further appreciation. I do think, though, that it has support to the downside.
I take your point. And as I was asking the question and I cast my eye around the world, the wars are still ongoing. Let's be clear about that. As you mentioned, elections happening and inflation. There's a consensus that inflation is probably higher for longer, which brings me to my last question then. Is it still, in the classic old days, gold was a sort of 5 or 10% holding in a portfolio. You could blend it between the physical, whether that be a custodial notes or ETFs and some mining. Is that still the sort of ideal amount to have in a portfolio?
Yes. So our quantitative analysts actually did this work more recently because we were trying to figure out if there's a place for a cryptocurrency in your portfolio. And gold really came out very strongly as a safe haven asset and a good diversifier against volatile markets. So we'd still say 5 to 10%. I do think, though, even though you can't time the market, it's about time in the market, not timing the market. You need to think about when you are adding gold to your portfolio and in what form you are adding gold to your portfolio. So buying a gold ETF or physical gold right now at close to record levels may not be the best idea. You can wait for opportunities when you do see some weakness to add. I would actually think that some of the gold mining companies, particularly on the JSE and the ones that have not caught up to the Rand gold price are actually offering a better entry point right now.
So then a very quick last question, which is that? I mean, because AngloGold Ashanti always seems to be lagging. It seems to be the Goldfields and Harmony that are flying. Which would be the preferred JC gold miner?
So, I mean, AngloGold, I think, is still one to consider because it's quite high quality and it's well diversified geographically. Mm-hmm. But my preferred pick would be Pan African Resources. I think that operationally they're just doing so well, and their cost per ounce is way below the current spot gold price, which means that they should see really strong free cash flows over the next couple of reporting periods.
Yeah, Pan African Resources, a well-loved little junior gold miner. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments, appreciate the early time. And that is our question today. LinkedIn and Twitter, are you still bullish on gold? Have your vote, have your say. That's it for today. We were chatting with Oceana CFO yesterday, Saf Mohammed, talking about results. Daybook was absolutely booming. Lucky Star holding steady. We asked you, do you love Lucky Star Pilchards? Almost half said not for you. Some 40% said absolutely. The rest said only for tweeting ex-finance ministers. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Not realistic to expect to get good business at low valuations.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.